The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
You know, bright side about the current situation at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 studios, with the computers going out, we don't have to play a low-energy, half-assed Dan Shulman call of the World Series the rest of the way. Huzzah! Instead, we can just sing, Jeromy Peña, gonna be the MVP again in about a day or two. Joining me right now on the HRNP listener line, the one, the only, Josh Innes, host of the Josh Innes podcast, which you can subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. Joshua, hi, buddy.
Hi. I heard you talking about Dan Shulman, who's fine, but you know who's a real turd is the dude doing play-by-play on TV.
Dodger Joe Davis.
I think his name is Joe.
Joe Davis, not Joe Buck. Josh, you are right. And did you know that he is the Dodgers play-by-play voice for the entirety of the regular season? I don't want to sound like Alex Jones. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist out there. And I hate to be the guy that says, this guy is biased. But he is definitely biased. There's no denying it.
Oh, see, and that's the beauty. See, here's the thing. Like, I hate to be that guy, too, but it's obvious.
It's so
like,
obvious.
It's clear. And the thing is, Fox is fascinating. And I know the last three games have been in Philadelphia, but I feel like they're showing the same package over and over for the hour pregame show. Like, hey, do you guys know that Philly likes cheesesteaks and that Bryce Harper's a massive hard-on? Like, it's the same thing, like, every day. Did you know the Phillies fired their manager and Philly Rob is now their manager? Did you know that A-Rod played for him? Whoa, bro, cheesesteaks, Liberty Bell, ugly women, Philly!
You know what my favorite part about this is, too? How they go into Game 3 saying, one of the keys to the game is that the Astros have to take the Phillies crowd out of it. But I feel like the Phillies crowd took themselves out of it because, after all, the Phillies crowd, big key to this series, is factually 1-2. 1-2. And I honestly, Josh, I want to know how many Philadelphians you think were actually seriously paying attention to the entirety of that Game 5 as opposed to taking their phones out, opening up the Amazon app, and watching the birds.
I think there were a good number of them, but I'd say that the people that were in NRG, bless their hearts, the Philly people who went to Houston. Like, who decided, this is an awesome idea for a road trip, guys? Let's go to a Thursday night football game against a team who's predicted to be the worst in the league on a Thursday. This is a great idea. Now, of course, they couldn't have anticipated it being during the World Series because their team sucked. But then they got good for a month, and now whatever. But I would say that it was more the other way around, like people at NRG focusing on the World Series. I was texting with a buddy of mine who at his house was watching the football game on his iPad and was watching baseball on TV. I said, you realize you're going to win this game and nothing that happens in this game against the Texans matters. Like, if you play poorly, so what? It's a Thursday, you played the Texans. If you kick their ass, it's a Thursday, so what? You played the Texans. Like, why do you care? Like, if it were me, I wouldn't have an eye on that other game. I'd be watching the World Series. It's a meaningless regular season game that you can win by just showing up.
Josh, I did have it on. I mean, I think part of it is having worked at the flagship, and I feel obligated to watch that team at all times.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I do.
What, you watch the football game at all? You watch that?
I had it on the top TV. I didn't watch it seriously, but then all of a sudden, the first drive of the game, they score a touchdown, and I'm like, well, this could be an amazing night because then Houston could have a victory 2 in 24 hours over the Phillies, somehow, some way, and I knew it wasn't going to happen. A victory in football over the Eagles. It was 14-14 for a really long time, and James Harden is out for a month. Like, this could be the perfect Houston over Philly sports night. Plus, the Flyers lost and the Sixers lost.
But listen, maybe I'm old, but like some people are better at watching Amazon and flipping back and forth. They've got like 8 TVs. Like, well, on this TV, I'm watching Amazon Prime, and on this one, I'm watching the game. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to take the time. By the time the baseball goes to commercial and I flip over to Amazon and it takes 10 minutes to turn on, then I have to turn it back anyway. And I don't really give a damn about the outcome of the game with the Texans because it's a foregone conclusion. You can tell me, oh, it was 14-14. Who cares? What happens if you win that game? What are you, 2-5, 2-5-1? Who cares?
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
There was no reason for anybody. There's no reason for any human to have watched that game unless, hey, you got free tickets and you're there. But there is no reason for a fan of either side to watch any of that football game last night. And you can give me your, hey, I'm a big J journalist. I'm Paul Gallant, and I got to know what's going on.
The biggest
real
J.
talk. I barely watched Texans games the last time I worked there because they didn't matter. So you don't really have to watch it because nobody cares.
Let's walk it back to the Astros then, because we have spent nobody cares about the Texans, and yet here you are, Josh, going off on a 2-minute rant about watching the Texans.
Whoa. You did that. You brought this.
No, that's you.
Like, I want to talk about the Texans,
dude. You brought it up. Texans radio here, Paul Gallant, Josh Innes, talking about the Texans after the Astros took a 3-2 lead in the World Series. Hey, so
I hate you. You brought that up. Yeah, talk about baseball. Talk about whether or not Chaz McCormick made a Mount Rushmore level play in the history of Houston sports. Mount Rushmore. We're talking top four plays. And the situation matters. The game matters. There have been a lot of great regular season plays that people have made in Houston. But being that it's in the World Series, and if he doesn't make that play, they more than likely tie the game. Chaz, in my opinion, made a Mount Rushmore play last night. And while his was outstanding, we tend to forget about our boy Trey Mancini because he's kind of just bad at baseball. But we forget about him because he makes the play that if he doesn't make that wacky play at first, they take the lead. So, anyway.
It was an incredible dexterity by Trey Mancini to fall and make that play.
You usually don't see that except when he's striking out, reaching for a pitch.
I'm happy for him. There's something to be said for a guy who just sucks throughout a World Series. You want to have at least like one nice moment to look back on, say they actually are able to win this. So I'm really happy that Trey Mancini at least has this one moment. I just don't want to see him again the rest of the World Series. And we'll see if we do see him again the rest of this World Series, because I don't know what the hell happened to Yuli Gurriel in that rundown, because he got hit in the head.
Uh-huh.
He sprained his knee and he rolled his ankle. That didn't look good.
Look, I'm going to give you a Creed scenario here. It's called a what if. What if Yuli doesn't get hurt and he's still in the game? Now, he's a great defender anyway, so he's probably making the play. But still, what if he's back to the future style, butterfly effect, you step on a butterfly. If that rundown doesn't happen and Yuli's in there, is the same play made? I don't know. Probably, because he's a good defender. But who knows, man? But the Chaz play, if you had to pick four all-time great plays, given the situation in Houston sports history.
Does it have to be a defensive
play? I think
play?
That falls. I think there's no doubt that falls in the top four, right? Because you got to go with the catch last night by Chaz. Mm-hmm. I'll give you my four.
Give it to me, because off the top of my head, I'm not going to be able to think it up.
I'll give you my four. All right, I will go Chaz, I think, has to be Mount Rushmore. I think, now, these are individual plays, not like, oh, we won the World Series in 2017.
I get what you're saying.
Individual plays. I would say you need Chaz. You have to go Altuve walk-off to go to the World Series.
Against the Yankees, yep. Smiling Chaz.
I would go with Kiss of Death.
Ooh, that's a good one. Mario Elliott.
And I would go, boy, the fourth one is where I struggle a little bit. Well, the Hakeem block.
Yeah.
I think Hakeem's block. And I think on the outside looking in, because people don't care about the Texans, they've never captivated the city, but the J.J. Watt pick six in the first Bengals playoff game would be up there. That changed that game, and people were legit into the Texans at that moment in time. That was 2011.
I remember that,
people
too.
People loved it, next man up. And that same season, the touchdown against the Bengals in
DJ
the regular
Yates.
Season, Kevin Walter, baby, that got him in the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay, I like that. That's a good one, at least as far as recent memory goes. I'm sure there are some that go way, way back that we would have a tough time remembering off the top of our head. Yeah, I think those are all very good. McCormick's catch was incredible. It really was. That's a ballpark that he's unfamiliar with. He's running into right center field. I'm not really 100% sure what that fence feels like, let alone the actual scoreboard behind it. Like, there's a chain link in front
that?
Of it.
I don't want to interrupt you, but have you seen Blues Brothers?
Not all of it, but most of it.
There's the scene where they go in and They say they're the good old boys, and they play at this band that's got this a bar that's got chicken wire in front of the stage, so when people throw beers at them, it blocks it.
Oh, yes.
I think that fence is made of that same material.
Perfect for Philadelphia to keep them from being rowdy out there. Okay, so I like that this take that you brought to the table, the Mount Rushmore of big plays in recent Houston sports history. I'm going to throw one at you. I think Jeremy Pena is the face of the Astros going forward. And I think that it's a good thing that he is this because, look, we all are sensitive to the cheating allegations, even if it was happening across baseball. Jose Altuve is never going to be loved across the United States in a way that we want to. That's why Mattress Mack is about to fight people in Philadelphia. He wants to go after them because they're calling out his accomplishments. He's a cheater. Oh, the buzzer, all that BS. Jeremy Pena, our sweet, sweet boy, Jeremy Pena, with his handsome face and his calm, cool demeanor and his ability to get clutch hits, his ability to make things in the field look exceptionally easy. I think going forward, he's going to be the face of this team, and he helps legitimize this run, I think, maybe more than anybody. Because, you know, you look at this roster, you think Verlander, you think Bregman, you think Altuve, you think about the past, no matter what you want to try to do. Pena gives you a little separation from there, and maybe there will be some people who can finally come around and take things to the side, outside of like Bill Plaschke and Dodger Joe Davis, and say, hey, this team has been great. They have built an incredible squad. And this guy coming up and doing what he has done this postseason, Josh, it's been bleeping amazing.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm going to say a few things. 2 weeks ago, you'll remember our conversation where you and everybody else are frauds who said that Yordan Alvarez was having the greatest postseason in the history of ever.
Through two games, it was.
And I said, pump the brakes.
Game
and all
game.
Your little minions on social media came after me and said, F you, you hate you. And
yeah, you got to pander better, Josh. Come on.
Okay.
Put on for your
now,
city.
In regards to the Pena take, here's the thing that's wild about the Astros is they're about to win the World Series, and their roster, once you get past the top, I'd say three or four guys in the lineup, maybe five, their starting lineup on a night-in, night-out basis is like 50% just dudes. Like, if you really think about it, like, look at that lineup. Mancini's not very good when he's in there. Aledmys Diaz is a role player. Chaz is who he is. Like, we're at a point where people were begging for Hensley to play.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the roster is safe. So this is going to be an impressive World Series victory. Because I get that they're top-heavy, right? Like, Altuve is Altuve. But they're doing this with Altuve stinking for most of the playoffs. Yordan stinking for most of the playoffs.
Yeah, Yordan especially.
It's just been Pena and some of these other guys getting big hits. These are not blowouts. These aren't big run games. They're all 3-2, 4-2 type of games. So it is fascinating because, and I'm not looking to the future or anything. We're living in the now. But when you look at top-to-bottom rosters and lineups on a night-in, night-out basis, this is not a murderer's row lineup, which makes it even kind of more impressive what they've been able to do with winning 106 games and winning, hopefully winning the World Series tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right. I think the big failure at the trade deadline was that they did not bring in another bat, and they were very weird about how they discussed Michael Brantley's injury. And then after the fact, they were like, yeah, well, we knew he was probably not going to be here the rest of the year. Okay, well, then get another outfielder. Now, Chaz McCormick has, I think, played pretty well this postseason. And it's interesting, you're right in that, especially from, you know, 6-9, outside of Yuli Gurriel doing, like, old-school Yuli Gurriel things, the bottom of the lineup, you look at all those guys, and you're like, just please do anything. And yet, they have actually held up their end. The 1-5... for the most part, has been rather desert-ish, if you will. Altuve, who you mentioned, for the most of this postseason, has been awful. I will say, since Game 3 against the Yankees, I think he has actually played pretty well as a hitter. Maybe not dominant like you've seen in the past with him. But Jeremy Pena, he's been great. But Bregman, while he's been consistent, it feels like it hasn't been anywhere close to the old-school Bregman. Yordan struggled a while, and if you take away that two-home run game by Kyle Tucker, I mean, what are we talking about with that guy, too? So it's interesting that 1-5 with all of the names, none of them have played particularly well, and I think it just goes back to, why is this team as good as it is? It's because the pitching that they have is just absolutely ridiculous. Now, I hope that we never see Rafael Montero again. To me, he is like a Ken Giles that doesn't punch himself in the face. This is what I remember from him in Seattle. You can point the statistics at me all you want, whatever. I don't care. Rafael Montero makes me uneasy out there. But that pitching staff is absolutely ridiculous, to the point where you don't even see Christian Javier, who might have the best stuff on that actual pitching staff, until game bleeping four. And I hope that we see him as the starter in game seven, because Lance McCullers, I do not feel great about. I do feel good about Framber Valdez tomorrow night, though.
Fromber's winning it tomorrow. The series is over tomorrow.
You think so? Done.
Fromber's the guy you want with the ball.
I feel good about Fromber being out there.
It's not Verlander. Like, Verlander was fine last night. I'm a big Verlander guy. He was fine. He didn't kill you last night.
Yeah, it was like a C-plus performance.
When he had to.
Yeah.
But, like, he didn't look like, and I think, and I was talking with Meltzer about this last night, because you forget that he dealt with that injury late in the season. And I think that had to have something to do with it, because the guy doesn't just go from, oh, my ERA is 1.75 in the regular season, I'm mowing people down, to it's a struggle to get through four. You know, I get that his history isn't great in the World Series, the small sample size, I get all that, but he hadn't really looked the same, save for maybe that game against the Yankees where he struck out 11, but he just hadn't seemed the same, but he did enough. Bullpen was fantastic, and now Fromber, who right now is the ace, at least based on play, is the ace, is going to go out there and shut it down, and people are going to dance in the streets and celebrate the second World Series. That's happening tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay. Well, I will bring a poncho for the clubhouse. I like
you it. You should. Have you ever been in a clubhouse when a team's won anything?
No, I'm really excited for the possibility. But again, that's you feel confident right now, Josh? I don't feel confident at all. I feel like kind of a giant chutz right now. Like, I feel like I should be cocky because I've been talking a lot of trash for this entire playoff run. But from last night to today, like, I feel more relieved that they won, and I still feel like, okay, this game tomorrow night is going to be stressful. And I wish I had your confidence. I like Framber on the hill. I just wonder about this offense. You know, like, what's going to happen sixth inning on? And it's not the bullpen. It's more this team wins when they get a lead early and when they are able to sit on it. But last night, I mean, you thought they were going to run Noah Syndergaard out of the building, and then all of a sudden that double play happens, and then Verlander gives up the home run two pitches later, and from there on, I've just been kind of sweating bullets.
Well, thanks to Philly Rob for bringing the infield in with nobody out the first inning.
Were they thinking like that Pena was going to bunt or something like that because of the fake bunts? Because that, again, Jeremy Pena,
they brought the infield in.
Galaxy brain.
No, they brought him in because they were trying to gun down the runner at the plate.
Oh.
They thought it was going to be that kind of game, which I guess, to a degree, he wasn't wrong because it was a 3-2 game and every at-bat mattered and every run mattered. So, you know, maybe he had the right idea, but I'm not bringing the infield in with nobody out in the first. If they score a run, they score a run. You get the out. Nobody's on base. You move on. You know, I think that was stupid. They're lucky that the Astros weren't able to bust that thing open. They made a couple big pitches and got out of it, made a couple big plays. But that was stupid. Like, I don't think managers have much to do with winning and losing.
Yeah, that was a dumb move.
That's why I'm not one of these dusty haters like a bunch of the dopes on the internet are or anything. But there are certain decisions you make that are dumb, and that was a dumb decision. Like, I don't really judge dudes for who they put in the lineup, because ultimately, you got to put someone in there and the guy's got to hit. And you can't help it if the guy hits, right?
Yeah.
But you can help if you put the team in the best position. And bringing the infield in the top of the first inning of any game is stupid. And they're lucky that that didn't follow up with a double and then it starts an onslaught. They could have been down 3-4-0 right out of the chute. They got out of it, but they could have been, and that was a dumb decision.
He is Josh Jennings.
Davis sucked.
Yeah, Dodger Joe Davis, the absolute worst. He is Josh Jennings. Check out the podcast, The Josh Jennings Show. He actually has an episode out today about last night's game, so make sure you take a listen to that. Josh, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. Have a great weekend, and hopefully we're going to be talking about a victory next week.
Yes, sir. See you later.
That is Josh Jennings, everybody. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
2-2 the count as Pena lifts one in the air to left field. It's hit pretty well. Schwarber's back at the wall and we'll watch it go. Jeremy Pena lofts one into the seats in left for a home run and the Astros go on top 2-1.
Legitimately, I hate Dan Shulman for this.
And I'm Dan Shulman, and I'm about to take a nap.
Imagine Dan Shulman making a call of something else in history, Sean Mapes. Say we make first contact with aliens. and it seems like the delegation from Earth is finally going to make contact with another civilization from another planet. Oh, and what's this? Oh, they pulled out a laser gun and just evaporated the President of the United States. It's probably not what you want in a first close encounter of the third kind. Dan Shulman, ESPN.
Do you believe in miracles? Sure, I guess I do.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, come on. What can we do here to help him out? Like, we are technically part of the ESPN family. We're kind of the redheaded stepchild of ESPN. We're the fun guys, you know? They probably are, like, listening to us, anybody that might work in ESPN, especially if they're flying back into town today. They're turning on the radios, and they're like, oh, I'll listen to the ESPN station. Wait a second. Why has this guy been singing Jeremy Pena all show long? Why hasn't he talked about the ex-Wobier of the hit that was caught by Chaz McCormick, or the exit velocity, or the launch angle? What was the win probability when that ball was in the outfield? I don't know. I can't say. Justin Verlander, he gets the win in a game where it never felt great about him. I think when we were talking with Josh, C-plus is the appropriate grade to give for him. I'm happy that C's get degrees. C's were able to get you a victory. He did enough. It was borderline good, definitely not great. He finally gets his first World Series win. Defensively, you took care of him. Offensively, you didn't. You sure didn't. The bullpen definitely made things a little bit interesting. They got to stop with Rafael Montero. It is very weird, and I hate to second guess after a victory last night. It's very weird that Dusty Baker just continuously goes to the same four arms. It's Hector Neris. It's Abreu. It's Rafael Montero. It's Ryan Presley. Ryan Stanek? Nope. Luis Garcia? Nope. Jose Urquidy? Nope. Anybody else in that bullpen that I'm forgetting about? It's always the same four guys. Not that that's necessarily an issue, and you do have a night off. I am really just hoping, though, that you snuff them out tomorrow, because I think that that weird bullpen usage could potentially hurt them. Game 7 with Lance McCullers on the hill. How long is he going to go? What will you get out of Christian Javier after a couple of days off and coming out of the bullpen? There are a lot of things that I am wondering about. Say this one is not taken care of on Saturday. So you got to snuff these bleepers out. Get the pillow, put it over their face, and just hold it down. They have been tough. They have been scrappy. They will not go quietly into the night, this Philadelphia team. Their fans will. Their fans were very quiet, very overrated sports city. But as far as the actual team, I do respect the Phillies. 713-780-3776. Let's go back to the phones on the Most Interactive Sports Talk Show. In Houston, we've got Gary. Gare Bear, what's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to make a comment. I mean, you guys said it's weird. One of you guys. It's weird that he would go to the same arms over and over and over, the Dusty Baker. And like you said, I don't want to nitpick, but it's like going to school for your kid. And the teacher said, oh, he's been a great kid, but now let me drop the hammer. Man, the guy, they won a record. They won a lot of games this year. They're one game away. He pushed all the right buttons. Justin Verlander got his first victory. I know we're in a red state, man, but stop being – even one bit of negative is a negative Debbie Dollar. The man's bullpen is the best in business. And he's put those people in position to do well. And yet we continue to find anything. It just blows my mind.
Gary, I got a question.
To get another coach.
We gotta get you in contact with Dusty Baker's people.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I feel like you are perhaps like the greatest public defender ever, specifically for Dusty Baker.
And I agree. I would defend that man because we don't have representation. I will defend him. Because come on, man, that's picky. They went 8-0 almost. What else can this what we tell our kids in the barbershop? I'm gonna let you know. We say we gotta work 10 times as harder. Keep your hands on the steering wheel. Now we nitpicking the man is 3-2. Took 2 or 3 in Philadelphia. My goodness, man. Why can't we just get along and just be positive and happy? The fourth win is a coach. Maybe get his ring. He's pulled all the right buttons. And enough. Yes, I'm a public defender.
I like it. Listen, Gary, you can keep the same energy. We like it. You keep us straight when it comes to any Dusty Baker slander. There are things that are fair to question about Dusty Baker, but I think he's done a hell of a job this postseason. You have been listening to every single show on this station, and you've been calling in and saying the same things whenever someone criticizes Dusty. Listen, we all think Dusty's done a pretty good job. You could hang the sword up on the wall, okay? Like, no one's going to blame Dusty Baker for the end of this World Series. No one, okay, Gary?
I will call every show.
Okay, I appreciate it. But hey, hang on. We're going
to
do the handshake.
Every show.
We're going to do the handshake, Gary, like in Predator, okay? Okay,
you
can be Dylan. I'll be Arnold Schwarzenegger's character. Okay, with our meaty biceps, we're slapping them together in agreement.
I'll be back.
We like Dusty. Okay, look at that.
I'll be back.
I like it. Fantastic, Gary. Appreciate the phone call, Gary. You son of a bitch. Although I have to say it with the Schwarzenegger accent, Gary, you son of a bitch.
You've been sitting behind a desk too long.
Sean Mapes is behind the glass. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We do like Gary. 713-780-3776. We're going to get to Austin after the break on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Astros up 3-2 on the Phillies. Let's go.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
There goes Harper, and the 3-2 bounce to short. Charging Pena, sets his feet, throws, and gets him. Pena throws out Castellanos, and the Astros win the ballgame 3-2 and take a 3-2 lead in the World Series. Boy, that was a four-hour ball game. Guys with seemingly endless twists and turns. And in the end, the Astros just a little bit better here tonight.
Dan Shulman reading from his history textbook.
A game with a lot of twists and turns. Wow, can you believe it? It's finally over.
I mean, hate baseball more. Goodness gracious. Happy to see the Astros up 3-2. They got to snuff out the Phillies tonight. You can't give these bleepers any room to breathe, any room to believe. Snuff out their hopes and dreams and have them dead. Okay? That would be wonderful. 713-780-3776 to call into the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We have got Austin calling in. Austin, what's up?
Hey, Paul. Hope you're doing all right today. I just got a quick question for you. So who's going to win the World Series MVP tomorrow night after we win?
Jeremy Pena is going to take back the MVP like he did in the American League Championship Series tomorrow.
There you go. And then I just quick take on, I really think they need to sit Montero down. I don't think they
need
to bring
him down.
And
that's a move. I like it.
Stanek. What's going on with Stanek? Why are they thinking that Stanek is going to be a guy you would bring in like after the third inning if Verlander is possibly in some trouble? Like, this dude has been on it. Like, what has he done wrong? It doesn't seem like he's injured or anything. I mean, yeah, we don't know, but I mean, come on. Like, this dude was lights out during the season. He had the lowest ERA ever for Astros reliever.
That is true.
Like, this is like a backhanded, like, I don't know what's going on.
It's weird, the Ryan Stanek thing, Austin. I appreciate the phone call. You're 100% right. And you know what? We are a fair and balanced radio show. You know, Gary's calling in about Dusty Baker. I think Gary is calling in. He's trying to rep, you know, for black baseball players, black baseball managers. Okay? He's maybe a little more sensitive here. Where are the white guys to step up for Ryan Stanek? Huh?
Should I talk about some of the text conversations I've had about which starting pitchers for the Astros have been good in the World Series and which ones haven't? Because me and my friends have noticed that McCullers let us down. Verlander until last night let us down. Meanwhile, we have Valdez, lights out. Javier, no hitter.
Serious question.
I've just noticed some things.
I don't want to be racist, but can white people actually pitch? I know. What a curveball. I'm just asking the question. Dusty Baker might be onto something here. can the Whites pitch? I don't know. I can't say, but based off of what you just said right there, Ryan Stanek, yeah, he's only good for garbage time, okay? That's how it works. This is baseball in 2022, okay? Would Babe Ruth even get on a team, get on a pitching staff? I don't know. I can't say. I'm just asking the questions. 713-780-3776. We got Nancy. Nancy calling in about Dusty Baker. Nancy, what's going on?
Hey. So, disclaimer, first time even listening to the show. I was like, well, I guess I'll be a first time caller too. So I want to piggyback a little bit on Baker. Now, I am coming from a perspective. I did watch the man play when he was playing for the Dodgers.
Okay.
Let's start there. Do a little ooh and ahs. That it was pretty spectacular to watch him play. As a coach or as a manager, I think he's spectacular. He's wonderful, but I think he has made mistakes. I don't want to say it out loud, but I don't know what race has to do with any of it. He's good at what he does. But at the end of the day, there have been a few mistakes. Keeping Verlander in too long has been one of them. The game where which game was it when he kept him in too long?
Lance McCullers. Game three.
Say again?
Game three, Lance McCullers. He left him in too long. Game one, you could argue he left Justin Verlander in too long. Yeah, no doubt about it. I think those are definitely things that you can second guess when it comes to decisions that Dusty Baker has made. I will say this, though, Nancy, in response to that, I think for game one, you should have left Verlander in. He is a great pitcher. He's supposed to be able to work his way out of those issues. And yeah, obviously things escalated really quickly and his World Series record isn't a very good one, but he had a 1.75 ERA this year and he's going to win the Cy Young. So I feel like in that situation, Dusty said, hey, I'm going to let Verlander clean his mess. He trusted his player. I actually like managers who do trust their players, especially when that guy is the best pitcher in baseball this year. Understand though that, yeah, maybe there's a certain point where you pull him out. And I think last night he was thinking long and hard about it. But we do have this back and forth, an interesting back and forth. And Sean, sorry to throw you on the spot, but we did get the call from Nancy, and we like to improvise a little bit here. This is cut number 16. Dusty Baker was asked on if he had thought about pulling Justin Verlander after Bryce Harper had doubled.
No. I mean, this guy, you know, he's been one of the best of getting out of trouble. And to me, you know, that was his game. You know, like I've said many times, I mean, he's our ace. And it's hard to, you know, pull your ace because that's why he's the ace. And, you know, who can you bring in? I mean, we got a great bullpen, but who can you bring in that's better than the guy that's out there in Verlander?
I understand the argument to pull Verlander early. In either last night's game, the Astros were able to get out of that inning successfully, or in game one. I get the argument. I think it's very low on the totem pole of reasons that the Astros have been struggling to get through this World Series with ease, to waltz through a cupcake buffet, you know? And this Phillies team is tough. I'd say the same thing with the Lance McCullers one as well. Someone was really getting into me. One of my friends, she got into me talking about how Lance McCullers was left in too long in game three. And yeah, he was, but the Astros offense didn't do anything. The Astros offense has been, I think, a much bigger problem for the team all year long, and especially in this World Series, than anything that Dusty Baker's done.
And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but Dusty not going to any of the high-leverage guys in Game 3 allowed him to pitch him not just in Game 4 on 3 days rest, but then also again on back-to-back days instead, as opposed to going for game three. He kind of let the series play out. That is trusting your guys in a certain sense of, hey, tomorrow we'll get them and we'll be in a position where we actually need the high leverage arms again. And he was able to pitch them on back-to-back days. Now he has a day off before game six, so he's going to be able to use them every single game that's competitive this series.
Perfectly said. Yeah. Good job, Sean Mapes. That is 100% true.
Thank you.
They thought about this long-term in addition to short-term. And you have to do that if you're a manager in the World Series. And I'm sure Dusty Baker, probably looking back, has learned from some of the mistakes that he has made. I really can't point to Dusty Baker and say, like, oh, man, he bleeped this up, you know? Outside of just the designated hitter decisions with Mancini being in his line as long as he's been in. But I really don't think that, like, David Hensley is a massive upgrade over it. It's more, well, bleep, this isn't working. Diaz isn't working. Let's see what happens. And Hensley has been slightly better than those two in the DH spot. Another call from James at 713-780-3776. And by the way, I do want to say, I don't think race has anything to do with anything. I'm just having some fun because, Gary, I feel like there's a little bit of racial sensitivity when it comes to Dusty Baker for him. That's fine. Some people hear it however they want to hear it. I'm not telling people how to actually listen to things and stuff, but it always has felt that way considering Gary does call it to just about every single show. But Gary and I are in agreement. It's not Dusty Baker's fault, but maybe James feels differently. 713-780-3776. James, what's up?
Oh, yes. I need to comment on the last guy. I think he's partly right in what he's saying. I think Dustin making the right move, and, you know, just don't let the man stay in too long, because if he stay in too long, he might get in trouble. You know just about, you know, how these series work in the playoffs. So what he need to really do, you know, I throw the whole kitchen sink at him. That's what I do. If I need to get a left hand out, I maybe get a left hand in there. If I need to get a right hand out, if you just got to make one foot out, you know. See,
I get what you're saying, James. I get what you're saying. I appreciate the phone call. It's a little bit different though. Now you can't just throw a guy out there. You have to throw him out for three batters. Now, you know, it's not like it used to be where you could put in a guy for one at bat. And here's the other thing too, with just the way that the Astros bullpen is set up, like, they don't have any lefties. They don't have any. You know, right now it's just a bunch of righties. They did not bring Will Smith. They didn't put him on the roster.
Keep his wife's name out of his mouth.
Thank you, Sean Mapes. Rightfully so, honestly. He hasn't played particularly well. Hasn't pitched particularly well.
I said keep his name out of your mouth.
Okay, fine. Well, I didn't say his name.
Don't maybe go over there.
Shut up, Sean. I didn't say his name, okay? I didn't actually say his name. I just said he hasn't done well. And the other guy, too, Phil Maton. Thank God he punched that wall, right? Did any of us want to see him in the postseason? I know I didn't. 713-780-3776. Going up against his brother. Ooh. Coming up next, some more of your thoughts. And we are going to wrap this thing up with some positive vibes going forward. I'm going to talk myself into being a cocky you-know-what. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston on a Friday. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
So, you know, I never saw it as I had to fill in shoes. You know, I just had to come in and be myself, you know, play my game. But, you know, at the end of the season, once we accomplish our goal, which is to go all the way, then I'll sit down and reflect on, you know, the journey. But we know there's still work to do, and we got to lock in.
Jeremy MVP, when asked about filling Carlos Correa's shoes after the game yesterday, 3-for-4, RBI single in the first, home run to give the Astros a 2-1 lead, another hit later on that put Jose Altuve in scoring position for Yordan Alvarez to drive him home. Kid's a superstar. He is our crown jewel, our sweet boy, but not like sweet boy like Cowboy Trav says, not like that. But here is Jose Altuve after the game also talking about how Pena has gone overnight this postseason and become exactly what he told you Pena would become this year.
You know, he's amazing. He's that kind of player. I'm so happy for him. He's been swinging the bat good, obviously today with two big RBIs. And what can I say? Happy for him. I said in his spring training, this kid is a superstar, and he's going to bring a lot of good things to our clubhouse.
So, he's done all of those things, and very excited to see what he might do in a potential closeout game 6 Saturday. I got to feel a little more confident. I'm trying to talk myself into it, but you guys can help me out. We got a full board of calls before we hit the road. Let's try to squeeze everybody in here. Phillip's been on hold the longest, 713-780-3776 to join the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, the Paul Gallant Show. Phillip, what's up?
Hey, Paul. Hey, thanks for accepting my call. I live up here in Pennsylvania. You know, I'm from Houston. I've been listening to the game the last couple nights, whatever. You know, they wouldn't serve our Houston Astros pizza or whatever you want to call it. But The thing is, I think since, like, Philadelphia, I compare that to, like, Dallas. So, I mean, Dallas is the same as Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh is the same as Houston. It's what I'm starting to see, like, hardworking people in Pittsburgh and Houston and those elites in Dallas and Philadelphia, they don't understand. But what I'm going to say, thanks for having Josh on the show. That was cool. I haven't heard from him in a long time, and that was cool to hear from him. And the second thing, like Matt the Smack going off on the fans in Philly, like that's classic Houston. Like,
yo, mama. Yeah.
Like, that's Matt the Smack.
Matt the Smack rules.
He's got a lot of money on the game, and I would go off too if you disrespect Houston like that. But I'm over here. I got coworkers that are talking about the Houston Astros are always cheating and this and that. And I, you know, I look at them, and I just have to just like the Astros are like one of the greatest baseball teams ever, man.
They are
six straight championships. I mean, four World Series in 6 years. You can't deny that.
You can't. But here's what you do to piss them off further. And by the way, great start, and appreciate the phone call by comparing Philadelphia to Dallas. They will kill people over a comparison like that. So I think that's great. That's a great way to start off a troll job with a Philadelphian. Now, be careful. You might get hit in the face with a bottle of Yingling. But the other thing about what you heard right there, if you are in a situation where they are talking trash to you about your team cheating, rub it in their face and just say, yeah, we got away with it. You stupid loser. Maybe your team should try it. Just be evil. They all hate you anyway, you know? You can't make people like you when you root for a successful sports team, especially on the level of the Astros. Dave is up next, 713-780-3776. What's up, Dave? Dave.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm doing well, Dave.
Man, look, you know, I think we give Dusty a hard time, man. Honestly, I mean, we expect this guy to go out there and manage the ball club flawlessly. I mean, there's plenty of people have said it. He's done great in the postseason. He got us to where we are. And, man, we got to give him a little bit of space. We got to give him a little bit of a window to make some mistakes here and there. Hey, I probably would have pulled McCullers a little bit earlier. Maybe JV on game one. Maybe. I don't know. But give him a little bit of room to sometimes. He's not perfect.
I agree with you, Dave. I think that's the perfect way to put it.
Absolutely. Job.
We're trying to squeeze everyone in, but the sentiment of your call is, I think, perfect for Dusty Baker. Dusty is somebody who is not going to be perfect with all the decisions that he makes. And by the way, being a manager, especially in high-leverage situations like this, is not easy. That's not excusing anything that he has done that has been bad, but he has done nothing that has cost the Astros a game. He hasn't. He has done things that have been frustrating, but he has done nothing that has cost this team a game. 713-780-3776. We got time for probably two more calls. Let's go to Paul. Ooh, great name. Calling in to the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
That's Paul, it, brother.
What up?
Hey, what's up, guys? No, I'm going to tell you on what that guy was just talking about, kind of. You know, I'd like to see everybody get a play. I mean, what about Hunter Brown, our local boy? I mean, hell of a pitcher this year. I realize, he's a starter in the starter rotation at the end of the year. But I'd like to see him get in the game. I'd like to see everybody get a play. And, you know, I work construction. I'm not a baseball manager, but it'd be nice to see Hunter Brown in there.
Paul, make a construction comparison. Say you're a foreman, on a construction site or something like that, and there's this new guy who came on, and you think he's smart, and you feel like he's strong, and Hunter Brown has shown all of those things. Are you going to trust that guy to do, like, one of the more important or dangerous jobs out there when he hasn't had a whole lot of experience doing it? Like, don't you want him to kind of sit back a little bit and figure it out? I like Hunter Brown. I think there's a lot of potential with him in the future, but I think this situation to throw him in there for extended reps, I feel like that's something you should probably back away from game six or game seven of a World Series.
Oh my God, for me, we get in a jam like a game seven, say Sunday night, which I hope doesn't happen, you know. But I'm saying, you know, everybody's going to be on hand then. And, you know, maybe, you know, you never know. But I doubt it because I'd say Frommer's going to handle business tomorrow night. But, you know.
Good energy. I like it, Paul. Appreciate the phone call. We got one last call to squeeze in before we hit the road. Reed, what's up? Send us out with a bang. We need some energy.
Hello.
Reed!
Hi. Hey, brother. I gotta tell you, I'm sitting downtown right now by the bus station.
man, Monday, you are going to be telling us all about how the Astros wrapped it up and won the World Series at home. You rock. Go, Astros. Let's go.
Big thanks to everybody who tuned in today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. To Sean Mace behind the glass, the callers, the texters, the Twitchers as well. I am merely Paul Gallant. Go, Astros. Let's clean this thing up on Saturday. If not then, let's end it on Sunday so I can come into here with a big old bottle of champagne and a cigar to talk about the two-time World Series champion Houston Astros and the dynasty that they have been running for 6 years. So long, farewell. Killer Bees are up next at Drift Bar in the Heights. Peace!
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.